Finding in your copy of the Word, the 31st Proverb, Proverbs chapter 31. And, you know, if you were here last week, okay, if you weren't here last week, then you may need to get the CD or listen to the podcast. But if you're here last week, I mentioned my discomfort, I suppose, at preaching when I have to preach on Mother's Day and Father's Day, okay? Because first of all, I'm not a mother, so I don't really understand everything there is to know about mother, although I was there when both my children were born, and it was a very traumatic experience for me. But other than that, you know, I don't always know exactly what to say or how to say it, and all I really know is what the Scripture teaches, and the Scripture always gives the ideal. And then what typically happens is we just make ourselves feel guilty, and then when it comes to Father's Day, then I got to make the fathers feel guilty, and I hate to do that because that's what I am, and so I don't necessarily want to make myself feel guilty. So I've always struggled with. So what I decided to do this year is the Sunday before Mother's Day, which was last Sunday, I preached to the men and just challenged the men, and so I'm getting us off the hook for Father's Day, guys. And then today I'm just going to challenge the ladies. Now it's a challenge for all of us. But it's kind of interesting because before the first service, I had one of the men come up to me and he said, "Now, Brother Greg, are you going to give it to the ladies like you gave it to us last Sunday, right? I mean, are you going to really get after them?" And I was just thinking, you know, isn't it interesting how, you know, we have this competition between men and women, and it just kind of keeps going on. And I heard a couple of stories that kind of illustrate this, and so I got to share them with you. You got to bear with me, okay? First of all, on the one side, there was this little boy who, on his way home from Sunday school, one day his mom and dad are in the car, and mom turns around and says, "Hey, Timmy, what did you learn in Sunday school today?" He says, "Well, in Sunday school we studied, you know, about the creation, how God created everything, you know, in 6 days. And on the sixth day, he created a man, right? And then he said, it's not good for this man to be alone, so I'm going to make somebody to go with him, right? And so then God said to Adam, he said, listen, I'm going to create a helper for you, a helpmeet, and she is going to be just the most beautiful creature you've ever seen, and she's going to be perfect in every way. She is going to cater to your every whim. Whatever you say she's going to do, she's never going to disagree with you. She's never going to argue with you. She's never going to nag you. She's never going to tell you, you know, how you've done wrong and everything else like that. She's going to cook your food, and whenever you discover clothes, she's going to wash your clothes and darn your socks and iron your shirts and all this." And just went on and on. And God just described this perfect, you know, creature. And so this little boy's telling this story, and mom said, "Are you sure that's what happened?" And he said, "Yes, that's what happened. And then Adam said, "Well, what's this going to cost me?" And God said, "That's going to cost you an arm and a leg." And then Adam thought for a minute and said, "What could I get for a rib?" You're right. It wasn't funny, honey. I want you to notice I wasn't laughing at that. I didn't even laugh first time Mike told me that joke. Bad, bad. Okay, well, the other side is that. Okay, so I'm not trying to offend anybody. Here's the other side. Little girl was on her way home, same Sunday, in the back seat with her mom and dad, right? And mom says, "Honey, what did you learn Sunday school today?" She said, "Well, we studied about the creation, how God created everything in 6 days. On the sixth day, God made a man." Mom said, "Well, what happened then?" She said, "Well, then God looked at the man and said, I can do better than that. And then he created a woman." Well, anyway, I've entitled this sermon, yeah, no more jokes, thank you. You're right, thank you, honey. I've entitled this sermon, Adam's Rib. And what I'm going to do today, we're just going to work through this passage of Scripture in the the 31st chapter of Proverbs, which we're going to begin in verse 10. And over my verse 10, it says, in praise of a capable wife. Okay? It's actually a lot more than that here. In fact, what the scripture does to us is it gives us the ideal. Okay? Now, to understand what this is all about, we got to go back to the very first verse in Proverbs 31. In fact, I want you to look at it with me here for just a second. It says, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. Okay? Now, I want you to notice, this is King Lemuel speaking. And by the way, we don't have any idea who King Lemuel was. We know King Solomon, who is the son of David, and he prayed for wisdom, became the wisest man evidently that ever lived, and many of the Proverbs are ascribed to David, right? Okay? King Lemuel had no clue who he was, but his name means belonging to God. And notice, this is the oracle. He's giving this is the word that came to him, look, from his mother, okay? His mother taught him this, okay? So these are actually the teachings of a mom to a son. And basically, what mom was doing here was, she was teaching her son what to look for in a woman. And what she does here is she kind of lays out the ideal woman. And I just want to point that out again. What the scripture does for us here is it gives us the ideal. And this is what, you know, this is kind of like the mom that, that would say, you know, basically, there's no girl good enough there for my boy, right? I mean, any of you ladies have mother-in-laws like that, right? You just never were good enough for her baby girl. This is kind of maybe that mom. She lays out perfection here. She lays out the ideal. And this is what Scripture gives to us, okay? Now, and so what we're going to do is we're going to lay out this idea. Remember, this is the hypothetical woman. And when we get done, you may say to yourself, well, I don't measure up to that, okay? But there's an answer here to that as well. So we're not giving this to discourage anybody. We're not giving this to put anybody down. What we're showing is what God has to say of who we ought to be. And then God's purpose and plan of how it comes about. Now, at this point, let me just pause for just a moment and again remind you that this is a mom telling her son what she ought to look for in, or what he ought to look for in a wife, right? And let me just say, moms and dads, you ought to be teaching and training and helping your sons and daughters understand what to look for in a spouse. First of all, you ought to be modeling it. Every father ought to be showing his son how to treat a woman by the way he treats that boy's mama. Every girl ought to see how to relate to a man by the way she sees her mama and dad relate to each other and the way her mom relates to her dad. By the way, if you don't teach your children what to look for in a spouse, don't be surprised or complain when they show up at home with junk. Okay? Just a little side note here, okay? So this is God's ideal, right? This is a mom teaching her son what to look for in an ideal woman. And this is not systematic, so I mean, I'm going to jump around a little bit. I'm not just going to read the whole thing. We're going to jump around some, but we're going to look at what it is that God says we ought to look for. And there is the outline here would be this. What she is, and then who she is, okay? So first of all, we're going to look at what she is. What is the perfect woman? What is she? And basically, this is going to be her roles, okay? So we're actually going to see four different roles of what she is or what she does, and then we're going to see how she does these things, and it's by who she is, okay? So first of all, what she is, these are her roles. There are four things. Number one, she is a wife. She is a wife. Look down at verse 10. It says, who can find the capable wife? She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good and not evil all the days of her life. And then skip down to verse 23. Her husband is known at the city gate, and that's the place of honor, recognition. Her husband is known at the city gate where he sits among the elders of the land. Okay? So first of all, the first role is she is a wife. Now let me just pause right here and say not every woman is a wife. Obviously, there are single women. And listen, you don't have to be a wife to be a godly woman. Okay? God calls some of us to singleness. And in fact, my daughter, who is 35 now, is still single. And it's something that her mother and I pray about and pray for. But it may very well be that God has just called her to live this way. There's nothing wrong or ungodly about a woman not having a husband. So not every woman is a wife, okay? But every wife is this kind of wife, okay? So this is the ideal again. And so what does this wife do? Well, look at what it says here. It says, first of all, she is more precious than jewels. Now, this is speaking to the boy, okay? This is speaking to the man. And what this mom is telling her son is, listen, when you find a wife, she is going to be more precious to you than any amount of money in this world. Now, what do you do with a jewel? You cherish it, right? You protect it. You watch over it. You let it shine, okay? So this is a word to the men. What do you do with your wife? You cherish her. You protect her. You watch over her. You let her shine. So she's more precious than jewels. And guys, husbands, if we could learn this lesson, it would be a great blessing in our homes, to our children, to ourselves. That first of all, God gives us a spouse, a mate, a wife, in order to bless us. And when we treasure her or cherish her and we protect her and we watch over her and when we let her shine and lift her up, then we're the one that gets blessed, okay? So first of all, he says that she is more precious than any jewel. And then it says that he trusts her. So verse 11, her husband trusts in her, and so he will not lack anything good. Now, why does he trust her? He trusts her because she brings him good and she doesn't bring him evil. That is, her heart is for him. Now, ladies, watch this. If you are a wife, if God has given you a husband, then he has intended for your heart to be for him. That is, he needs to be able to trust you. That is, you are to build him up and lift him up. Listen, a good wife does not tear her husband down in front of anybody. What she does is she builds him up. And when she's building up her husband, she's actually building herself up. I have seen, and it breaks my heart, and I have heard women who can't speak good of their husbands. Instead of building him up, they tear him down. Now listen, if you got nothing good to say about your husband, what does that say about you? Because you're the one that married him, right? And so what happens is, when you tear him down, you're actually tearing yourself down. When you build him up, you're building yourself up. When you're undergirding, you're strengthening him, when you're being for him the wife that God has called you to be, you're actually blessing yourself. And what happens is, as you exalt him, as you undergird him, as you strengthen him, as you build him up, watch how high he can rise, and you actually build yourself up. You've heard it said that behind every good man, or behind every successful man, there's a good woman. And then somebody added to that, and a surprised mother-in-law. You know, behind every successful man, there's a surprised mother-in-law. Anybody got a mother-in-law like that? You don't have to say anything. All right, but, story, okay? There is a couple, he was a bank president. And he and his wife went back to their hometown for a reunion. And while they were there, they happened to stop by a gas station. And the guy who actually pumped their gas was one of her old boyfriends, right, for when they were, you know, back in high school. And so they talked to him a little bit and kind of reminisced about old times and everything. And as they were driving away, the husband said, "Honey, think of this. If you had married that guy, you would be the wife of a gas station attendant." And she shook her head and kind of smiled and said, "Honey, if I'd married that guy, he would be a bank president and you'd be pumping gas today. And that really is the way it works. Amen? Right? Because this is what a wife does for her husband, right? She lifts him up so he can trust her and he lacks nothing good because she is there to undergird him and support him. Listen, there's going to be plenty of things in this world that are going to tear your husband down at home. He needs to be built up. Home needs to be a place that is a protection for him, and a good wife will make that for her husband. So what is her role? What is one of her roles? It is as wife. Here's the second role. This is what she is. She is not only a wife, she is also a mother. Look down at verse 14. It says, she is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar off. And when I read that, I think about that young man in the video before, and he was talking about his mother, and he says, she feeds me. That's the most important thing. Did you catch that? She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from far away. She rises while it's still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. And then jump down to verse 28. Her sons rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. So here is a mom who provides for her family no matter what. If she's got to get up early, that's what she does. If she's got to stay up late, that's what she does. Now, ladies, listen to me. You know this. If you are a mother, being a mother is job one. And it is a tremendous blessing. It's also a tremendous challenge. It will give you the greatest thrill in life. It will also break your heart because our children break our hearts, right? Here is a woman who is a mother, and her heart is for her family. And whatever it is that she needs to do, she does it. And I tell you what, to me personally, to watch moms at work blesses me. I love, you know, I'm a people watcher anyway. When we go anywhere, when Donna and I go anywhere, I'm watching people. A lot of times we're going shopping and I'm sitting there and Donna's doing the shopping and I'm just sitting there watching folks. And it blesses me to see, especially young mothers with small children, but even older moms with their daughters or with their sons. And there's just something precious about that. There's something godly about a mother who is just caring for her children. You know, one of the things that I think that we suffer from in our culture today, in our own nation, is too many moms' hearts have been turned away from their family and children because we're being taught today that it's all about you, right? That you're number one. And so you put yourself first, and what we're seeing today, and all you have to do is go over here into this elementary school right behind us or in any, almost any school, you're going to see children that are neglected by their moms. And it not only is a great tragedy, it's a national tragedy, but it is a travesty because a mother's heart is to be to her children. And look, there's a reward in it. Down in verse 28, he said, they rise up and call her blessed. Children rise up and call her blessed. Now, it may very well be that they're going to break your heart as teenagers, but the day's going to come when they are going to bless you. And, you know, there's nothing more precious than when they're young. I heard this story as well. I'll share it with you. This little boy was going to be in a church play, okay? And his one line was to say, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He worked on this over and over again. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Until it was a part of him, his mom, you know, coached him and everything. He's ready to go. On the night of the play, lights come on. Comes time for his line. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And he, you know, freezes. He's there with his lights, you know, or in the lights with, you know, his eyes like this, you know, like deer in the headlights. And he can't think of what he's supposed to say. His mom, who is sitting right over here, is trying to prompt him, you know, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, right? Well, no response. So she says it again, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So finally, he kind of looks over at her, and there she is. She's nodding encouragement. Come on, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He turns to the microphone and said, Jesus said, my mom is the light of the world. And that really, you know, for a child, I mean, just think back. I tell you, I had a precious, precious mother. She's still living, 90 years old. Many of you got to meet her recently when she came. But But you know, as a child, I just remember hanging on to her hem of her dress, and she was for me the light of the world. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And even if they bring tears when they're teenagers, later on they're going to come back. This is part of the promise of God. And they're going to say, Mom, bless you. Thank you for what you've done. So, what is she? She is a wife, she is a mother, and then she's also a worker. Look down at verse 15. She rises while it's still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. She sees that her profits are good and her lamp never goes out at night. Jump down to verse 24. She makes and sells linen garments. She delivers belts to the merchants. Now, by the way, most of the things that we just read there that are applied to this excellent woman are actually things that in Jewish culture would be the prerogative of men. Only men would do these things. Only men would engage in this kind of commerce. What you see here is a woman who works hard, and she does whatever it takes to bless her family. And it's unclear, is she an employee or is she just doing these things on her own? But what happens here is she's working hard to make her family successful. And she does it. And look at some of the things that it says about her. First of all, she's into real estate. Did you see that part where it said that in verse 16 that she evaluates a field and buys it? Okay, and then she sells it and she takes the profits and then she becomes a farmer. So she's a real estate agent. She's also a farmer. She plants a vineyard. And then down in verse 24, it says, and she goes into the wholesale garment business. And so she's making garments and she's selling them. In fact, if you look through this passage, there's more that is said about her work than is said about her being a wife or a mother, which I think is very, very interesting. Now, beloved, listen to me. Every woman works. There are some women who are called to be homemakers and to work in the home and out of the home, to be a wife and mother and to provide for your family in that way. And some women are called to work outside the home. I want you to notice that it's not a sin. It's not a sin for a woman to work outside the home. Now, some of us old-fashioned guys might think it is. But according to Scripture here, this particular woman, and remember, this is the ideal. She works hard. She works hard inside the home. She works hard outside the home. And she is a worker. All right, so here we go. She's a wife. She is a mother. She's a worker. And then the last thing of what she is also a minister. Look down at verse 20. It says, her hands reach out to the poor, and she extends her hands to the needy. Now watch this. When she sees a need, she meets it. What that means is she's looking around. Her eyes aren't focused on the inside, or she's not looking inward. She's looking outward. She's checking out, folks. When she sees someone in need, watch this. It doesn't say that she gives them money. It says that she gives herself. Her arms are open wide. Beloved, this is ministry. So here is this woman, she is engaging in ministry. It might not be official ministry, you know, that the pastor says, okay, you need to do this. She didn't have to have somebody to tell her that she is a minister. She doesn't have to have someone tell her to open her arms, to look around and see where there is need and meet that need. She just does it. And I want you to notice that this doesn't take away from who she is, or it doesn't take away from her family. It actually enhances it or adds to it. Because now her children, as they grow up, they see a mom who is actually living outside of herself. She's actually ministering. She's touching other people's lives. And what does that do? That causes these children to grow up understanding that it's not all about me, that God has got some other plans here, and that God can use me to touch other lives. Do you see how the ministry actually affects her family as well? And so not only is she a wife, not only is she a mother, not only is she a worker, that she is actually a minister, that is someone, she models Jesus. And her children see this, and they become like that as well. And I'll tell you, the most godly children you're going to see are those who have a mom and a dad who model what it means to not only walk with Christ, but to live like Him, to have open arms like Jesus, and to touch those in need. She's a wife, she's a mother, she's a worker, she's a minister. Now that's what she is. All right, now remember, that's the ideal. Now, how in the world can one person do all those things? And not just do them all, but do them all perfectly, because that's what's demonstrated here. Well, the answer is how she does that is, the answer is by who she is, okay? So first of all, these things are what she is. But now who she is speaks of her character. And there are three parts here, and we're going to just go ahead and read the last portion of this passage, beginning in verse 25. I want you to follow along with me. It says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her sons rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women are capable, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor, and let her works praise her at the city gate. Now these verses speak of the character. And the character, that is what she is or who she is, makes what she is possible. And I want you to see how this character is put on display. First of all, it is displayed outwardly. That is, you can see it. It comes from the inside, but it's displayed outwardly. Look again at verse 25. It says, strength and honor are her clothing. That is, strength and honor are so natural to her that she wears them like a well-fitted garment. Now, this is what is on the inside, but it actually demonstrates, or it's shown on the outside. Strength and honor. And this strength is not physical strength. This strength is moral strength. It's the strength of character. It's the strength that comes about because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the strength of life. It's the strength that when everything else is falling apart or everything else is messing up, you're standing up and taking care of business. That's the kind of strength we're talking about. And let's just be honest. What we see this strength in many, many women today who have been deserted by worthless men who aren't willing to stand up and be men. They're willing to be biological fathers but won't be dads. They're willing to get what they want, but after they get what they want, then they head out the door. Okay? And there are many, many women that are living that way today. And it takes a special strength to live. And that strength comes from the Lord. I'll show you that here in just a second. But watch this. It's not just strength, but honor is part of her garment as well. In that 25th verse, it's strength and honor that she wears like a well-fitting garment. That word honor literally means worthy. And I take that to mean she knows who she is and she's comfortable with it. And she's willing, no matter what anybody else might say about her, no matter what others might think about her, she knows who she is and she knows what she is. And she lives it out proudly. And she takes care of her family and she does exactly what she needs to do. That is, what is on the inside is demonstrated on the outside. This character of hers is displayed outwardly. This is the type of woman that we'd call a lady. But there's more here. It is contained inwardly. It's displayed outwardly, but it's contained inwardly. Look at the second part of that 25th verse. It says she can laugh at the time to come. That is, she doesn't worry about the future. She laughs at it. Why? Because she knows that she's done everything that she can. She's worked hard. She's been like that aunt that has worked hard and has put things away for the hard times and the difficult times. She's prepared herself. She's prepared her family. There's nothing to worry about because she knows the future is in the hands of God. Everything might not work out exactly like she thinks it ought to or will, but she laughs at it because it's in the hands of God and she's walking with Him. So not only that, and she kind of has a sense of humor here, but not only that, and not only is worry not her problem, but look at what it says. It says, verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. That is, she has a godly wisdom within her, and that wisdom comes flowing out for her children. Some of the wisest things that you're ever going to hear are going to come out of the mouth of moms. I'll tell you this story. One of the first biographies I ever read that kind of turned me on to biographies was a biography of Dwight David Eisenhower, who was the Supreme Allied Commander for our European forces in World War II. He grew up in Kansas, so he had these Midwest values. He was actually born in Denison, Texas, by the way. But he had a godly mother. He was raised with two other brothers. And one night, they were in their home, and they were playing cards. The way Eisenhower tells it, they weren't really playing cards because his mom was, too religious for that. But they had some cards there, and they were playing something like goldfish or something like that. And he got dealt a bad hand, and it made him mad, and he pitched a fit about it. And in the middle of that card game, his mom just put her cards down, and she said, "Now, boys, watch this. So look at this." She said, "Dwight has been dealt a bad hand. And here he is in a place where people love him. He's here with his mother and with a family that loves him, and he can't handle it. Now, boys, what's going to happen when he gets out in the world and he's with people who don't love him and don't care about him, and he's dealt a bad hand?" Because she said, "Boys, ever so often you're going to be dealt a bad hand. Some people are dealt terrible hands. And the answer is, how are you going to respond?" Eisenhower said that was one of the greatest lessons he ever learned from his mom, that regardless of whatever hand he was dealt, that he went ahead and played it. He had a mother that was filled with wisdom. You know what the Scripture says? The Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Your beauty should not consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold, ornaments, or fine clothing. Instead, it should consist of what's on the inside, the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very valuable in God's eyes." It's valuable for your family. It's valuable for your children. It's valuable for your husband. It's valuable in life. Not what you are on the outside. Not what Fifth Avenue might tell you is beauty, but what God says is, because God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the inside. And that brings me to the third thing here. Okay, it is displayed outwardly. It's contained inwardly. But watch this. It is produced spiritually. Or that is, it is produced by God. How is a woman to do all these things? Look down at verse 30. It says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." That word charm literally refers to bodily form or physical appearance. And this is what the world values, doesn't it? And I guess I don't have to tell any of the ladies here that, because you look at all the glamour magazines, Cosmopolitan and Glamour and all those other things, and what do? They got models on there that are, about 70 pounds lighter than anybody else, and their face is airbrushed, and their hair is perfect, and their makeup is, exquisite, and everything else. And this is what the world says is beautiful. And this is what you're supposed to look like. And if you don't look like this, and dress like this, and wear this kind of stuff, then you're not really a woman. Well, beloved, I want you to know something. That's not real. This is real. Because you have a God that created you. And He created you with beauty. And He created you with charm and life. And He created you to be for Him. Look at what it says here. A woman who fears the Lord will be praised. And that word fear doesn't mean to shake, violently in afraid. It means to reverence. It means to respect. So a woman who puts God first in her life A woman who exalts Him, a woman who looks to God first, is going to find all of these things. That is, He begins to produce them in your life. It's not up to you, it's up to Him. Because we'll go back to, how in the world does this take place? Remember, Proverbs 31 is the ideal. And so we go through all this, and every one of us in here would say, well, I just don't measure up to the ideal. Is there any hope for me? Beloved, this is the standard by which every woman is going to stand before God. The entire scripture is the standard by which every one of us men are going to stand before God. We're all going to be judged according to what God's word says here. And you can be this, but there's only one way. And that's with Christ in you. You can't do it on your own. You can't be the right wife. You can't be the correct mother, the worker, the minister, unless Jesus lives within you. And unless He produces these things within you. You see, we don't have to feel guilty about this stuff, right? Because again, you know, that's my fear. So we present the ideal, and we sit here and say, well, I don't measure up. So what does that say about me? Well, what that says about me is I need to go to Jesus. Because He is perfect. And He can produce within me perfection. This is the gospel. That, yeah, I'm not what I ought to be. But in Christ, I can be, because He is able and He will. He alone can do this. The woman who fears the Lord, the woman who puts Him first, the woman who comes to Christ and Christ alone and trusts Him, she is to be praised. Ladies, may God bless you. And may you relate to Jesus rightly. As I closed the service last week, I asked all the men just to come to the altar and hold hands. And I wanted to pray over them. I want to do this for all the women this morning. I want to just invite you to come and stand here at this altar. And we're just going to hang on. So ladies, come on right now. And I'm just going to pray for us. And this is how we're just going to respond to the Lord today. And maybe you've got some other response to Jesus that you need to make today. And we're not going to leave this place, or don't leave this place without doing it. But right now, I'm just going to ask us all to come and to remind ourselves who we are and what we ought to be. And the only way we can be it is in Christ. I'm going to ask the men to stand and pray with me. And again, we have shown the ideal. Folks, kind of move in just a little bit, because we got more coming on down. Come on down here. All right, we'll just pack in here and gather around. We're holding on to one another. And guys, I'm going to invite you to join me as I just voice our prayer. And we're just going to ask the Lord today to bless these ladies, these women, with His presence and His power, and by His strength to make each one what He created them to be. Would you pray? Father, we give You glory and praise in the name of Jesus for Your great love for us. And Lord, I thank You that You don't look on the outside, but You look at the heart. And God, You know what You created us to be. What we ought to be. And no matter what anybody else says, or what this world says, or what the advertisements say, that in You we have beauty and strength and honor and life, because You don't make no junk. Lord, I pray today that Christ Jesus would be so real in the life of every one of these ladies, that You would fill each one with Your Spirit and Your power. And God, that You would help them to be the wife, if they're married, that their husband needs them to be, that You created them to be. Lord, that they would be the mom to their children, if they have children, that that you want them to be and that those children need. Lord, I pray that as they work day by day, that you would bless that work and strengthen each one in their work and help them to be the workers, to do the work you've given them to do. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help each one to have open eyes and open arms, open hearts to those in need around, and in this way to show the love of Christ. But God, I know that there's not a one of these ladies that can do that on their own. They need you to do it. And God, I just pray that you would come in power. And Lord, for those who know you and love you, Lord, that you'd strengthen and undergird them. Lord, this message has challenged me to drive me back to you. But God, there may be somebody here that doesn't know Jesus. I pray today, Lord, that you would just come in power and that each would see, I need Jesus. Lord, thank you that you did come and give your life so that we could have life and have it more abundantly and be. Thank you that we're not what we ought to be, but we're not what we were, and we're headed that way as you live within us. Lord, thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do through these moms, through these wives, through these women. Lord, we give you glory and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. God bless you today. And I pray the Lord's richest blessing upon you as you walk in the light of the love of Christ. May his grace and his mercy and his life fill your life, that others might see Jesus in you. And because you live and because he lives, that Jesus might be real in their lives as well. God bless you. And moms, thank you. And the Lord richly bless you today. Amen. Brother Mike.